Mr. Stone.
May it please the court. The New Jersey Civil Justice Institute agrees that any regulation of attorney advertising must take into account the protections of the First Amendment. On the other hand, a misleading advertisement is not entitled to First Amendment protections. And so I'd like to contrast a misleading ad with an ad that is not misleading, but that the court may wish to regulate for another reason. So for example, if the court believes a particular type of advertisement is unfair because it, for example, it pushes another attorney in the search results lower down. Assuming that's not misleading but unfair, the court may wish to regulate that. And if it does so, it must do so consistent with the First Amendment, which gets involved in the Supreme Court's balancing test for the regulation of non-misleading attorney advertising. So we need to bear in mind that the rules for attorney advertising that are misleading are different than the rules for regulating non-misleading advertising. The concern I have with a finding about keyword search advertising, if there were to be a finding that keyword search advertising is itself misleading, the concern is that it would apply not only to lawyers, but to everyone else who's using a similar type of advertising. So suppose I open a new hardware store in town and I purchase a keyword search using the name of Home Depot, so that if someone searches for Home Depot, they're aware, oh, Mr. Stone has opened a new hardware store in town, maybe I'll try them too. But if that keyword search, which causes my name to come up in an ad above Home Depot, if that's deemed to be misleading, if that's fraudulent, then isn't there a risk that Home Depot is now going to sue me for fraud under New Jersey law? And that's a really dangerous idea, because that has the potential to upend all internet advertising, which is to say all internet searches, which depend on that modality. Mr. So I have a concern about
we're not attorneys aren't hardware vendors. So the New Jersey Supreme Court has the constitutional authority to regulate the practice of law. And I don't know that this is the case, but if one attorney is purchasing another attorney's name and therefore disadvantaging that person during the search process, why wouldn't that be of concern to us?
It certainly could be of concern if it's disadvantaging another lawyer, but I'm making the distinction between an advertisement that the court wants to regulate because it believes it disadvantages another lawyer and an advertisement that the court wants to regulate because it's found to be misleading. And I'm addressing only the misleading component. If the court were to find that ad is misleading, I don't know how. I'm not suggesting lawyers are like hardware stores. Of course, the court has a superintendent responsibility with respect to attorneys. My point is that if there's a finding that the way keyword search advertising works is fraudulent, then you've potentially opened a Pandora's box to everyone claiming that a keyword search is fraudulent, because I don't know how the court could theoretically, or a committee could theoretically say a keyword search is fraudulent as between two lawyers, but it's not fraudulent as between two hardware stores. I don't know how you make that distinction. I also wanted to make a distinction between RPC 7.1 and RPC 8.4. Obviously, we all know attorney advertising is regulated in New Jersey by several rules, including RPC 7.1, RPC 7.2. There were also three attorney advertising guidelines that were approved by this court. Rule 7.1a in particular prohibits false or misleading communications concerning a lawyer or a lawyer services. And that would seem to make Rule 7.1a an important factor in the question before the court today. But Opinion 735 is expressly limited to Rule 8.4, subsection C and D. And the advisory committee held that under Rule 8.4, attorney keyword advertising does not involve dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, and is not conduct prejudicial to the administration of justice. With respect to Rule 7.1, the advisory committee says it's only referencing a finding by the Committee on Attorney Advertising that Rule 7.1 does not cover the purchase of a keyword search because that purchase is not a, quote, communication. That holding is far too narrow. An attorney advertisement is a communication, and the ad cannot be divorced from the purchase of the keyword that generates the ad. Now, given the sparseness of the record, the Institute takes no position on the question of whether keyword search advertising is deceptive or misleading. But if it is misleading, then perhaps Rule 7.1a should be in play. The Institute therefore agrees that Opinion 735 should be referred to the appropriate committee to develop a more detailed factual record and to revisit the determination that Rule 7.1a is inapplicable.
Are you saying that, Mr. Stone, because 7.1a applies only to attorneys and that would therefore narrow or eliminate any question that a ruling by this court ultimately expands outside of the realm of attorneys?
No, I still believe that there is a concern about describing keyword search advertising as misleading or fraudulent. My point is simply, if there were, which we're not taking a position, if it were found to be misleading, perhaps the more appropriate way of tackling this problem is through 7.1a rather than through 8.4, which is a more open-ended and has a different standard.
That was what I was, I think, suggesting, is that it's perhaps a narrower way to go at the question that might not have as many unintended consequences. Is that the point you're making?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Stone, if we were to seek to develop a fuller record, as you and others have suggested, take a stab at what the charge for that committee should be. What specifically should we ask them to do?
So I think it's become obvious today that the Opinion 735 has a lot of maybes in it. There's a lot of probably, usually, how keyword search advertising lays out, how it appears. Is it consistent across different search engines? Is it consistent across different devices? And I think the committee would need to look at and create a record at those issues because we don't really have a clear record from the Opinion 735 on how that works. There's also been reference to a lot of my colleagues today and some of the justices have referred to other aspects and other things that are not part of the record. And the specifics are not my point. My point is we've all tried to fill in the gaps in each other's understanding of how keyword search advertising works by referencing some of our own observations and our own research on the internet, which isn't really part of what the committee was looking at, or at least not part of what's in the opinion. I also wanted to draw a distinction between the point I was making earlier about keyword search advertising that the court may wish to regulate, not because it's misleading, but because it creates other concerns that may or may not satisfy the balancing test for the regulation of commercial advertising, and on the other hand, a misleading or fraudulent advertisement. And in that regard, I refer the court to the example that I gave in my submission to the court, which is the Federal Trade Commission's concern about attorney advertising that is directed to consumers and could, in the FTC's words, could leave consumers with the false impression that their prescription drugs may be causing them harms that outweigh the benefits of taking them. And so that kind of misleading advertisement, which according to the FTC at least satisfies the standard of a misleading attorney advertisement, and they issued those cease and desist letters, attorney advertisements that mislead consumers, whether it's about pharmaceutical drugs and medical devices or any other misleading ads, those are not protected by the First Amendment because they are misleading, and those should be prohibited. I just wanted to make one last point to help respond to Justice Solomon's question earlier about how these links work. And I believe Justice Solomon was asking if you purchase an advertisement with Justin Albin's name and you click on it, does that lead to, or Justice Solomon's name, does that lead to Justice Albin? the idea of clicking on one attorney's name and leading to a different site was addressed by the committee. It's a very short discussion. It's on the first full paragraph of page 4 of the opinion. It describes those hyperlinks that would lead you to someone else's site. The committee concludes that that is deceitful conduct that violates 8.4C. And to the best of my knowledge, none of the submissions that were made to this court challenged that finding. And so I nobody's taken a position on it, but that committee's finding that that sort of hyperlink of one name leading to somebody else, that has been deemed deceitful without anybody apparently questioning. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you to all counsel.